For clarity, emphasis, and my own future reference in case I should forget because my memory is not the greatest. The factors which are required to manifest this surge, anomaly, event, whatever you want to call it, of this shorted motor, transformer, whatever you want to call it, situation, are several, not just a few. I'm beginning to find out. And the more I look at it, I was under the presumption it was simple, but it's not. The one factor that I had overlooked that is very interesting is the coupling coefficient between this each starter coil and the rotor. That coupling coefficient, I found the most efficient one was 8 parts per thousand. I had been using 5, but 8 is even better. The escalation rate is even better. If I use the same coupling coefficient as L1 and L2 of 10%, the surge disappears. And that's with 3 starter coils. With 8, I believe, well, the whole circuit goes dead, as I recall. But I stopped using 8 because I don't need 8. All I need are 3 starter coils having a relationship of some sort with the rotor, a coupling coefficient, a magnetic coupling, you know, a loose coupling of some sort. Whether it's 8 parts per thousand in reality or not, or whether it's engineerable to be so precise, I don't know. There has to be a bifilar main coil of just 2 coils, not 1, not 3. And they have to, the starter coil's relationship is 8 parts per thousand, but the L1 and L2 relationship with the rotor, squirrel cage rotor, is 10%. And then the relationship among all 5 coils minus the rotor, the ones sitting on the armature, the 3 starter coils and the 2 main coils, they're all at 99%, but that's there's some wiggle room there. I think it can go down to, I didn't test that out, so I don't know. I'm using 99%. No, the over unity gain is somewhere in the vicinity of a minimum of 90%, but the surge it seems to be a very delicate animal. Let's see now. So that's a few points. What am I missing? Well, of course, the wire short. Yeah, all of the factors that go to make the overunity, plus a few extra to make the surge. The overunity requires the electric short, the shorting wire, and of course, the magnetic short through the armature is assumed, something we always overlook. And of course, the high frequency. Low voltage, high frequency being fed to the starter coils that are now opened up and made part of the circuit rather than self-looped and isolated like they normally are in a conventional motor. Instead of a moderate voltage and a very low frequency being fed to the main coils, which is conventionally the case with a AC single phase induction motor. So, you know, all the factors that go to make the overunity. And the high frequency is a significantly important one because there seems to be resonance with certain high frequencies. And of course feeding it, you know, including the starter coils in the circuitry, in the electrical. See, they were already in the magnetic portion, the magnetic field, because they were wrapped around the armature. But that's all. They were loosely coupled with the circuit, but now they're strongly coupled because they're electrically coupled as well as magnetically. Well, electrically connected and magnetically coupled. There we go. So the high frequency is a big telling point for the overunity minimum. But then to take that one step further and turn it into a surge-oriented motor, the coupling coefficient among the starter coils in reference in their e in each of their relationship with the squirrel cage rotor, that is a very precise relationship of being very, very small. Not 10%, not 5%, but somewhere in the vicinity of, I believe. Yeah, it's a very narrow window, because at 4 parts per thousand the surge disappears. It's there at 5 parts per thousand, 6 parts per thousand, 7 parts per thousand, 8 parts per thousand, and I believe it dies at 9 parts per thousand, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Whether it's 9 parts or 10 parts per thousand, I can't remember now. Yeah, because it just has different levels of efficiency, or different levels of acceleration, I should say. Different levels of acceleration to which the surge occurs. You know, different rates per time frame. You know, if you look at a time frame, how high does the surge escalate to within that time frame? But then it does shut down outside that narrow window. Now, there may be other windows of resonance. You know, I didn't investigate every value of coupling coefficients among the starter coils in the relationship with the rotor coil or cage. But in that vicinity, it's definitely a narrow window. Let's see. So what I did to try to capitalize on a surge, or try to guess, estimate, how can you put a surge to use? It is an AC surge. In other words, it's an AC sine wave that's being shoved in one direction or another, positive or negative, depending on how you configure a short window burst. You know, you're busy suppressing it with two resistors on either side of the aerials, and the resistors, I forget if they have either 6, 7, or 8. 6 or 8, I forget which one it is. Number of zeros, so it's either, I think it's 8, yeah. 100 mega ohms resistor on either side of the pair of aerials. The large aerial that fits on the back of the Pierce aerial, and then the two small rods that stick out of the project box that he pushes in with his fingers and then checks his dials and says, "We now have power." I consider those to be aerials. It's too obvious not to take advantage of them, since they're metallic, they're aerial in shape, and they stick out of the project box, and they're very unique length, quarter wavelength they would resonate with, so it would be too obvious to avoid their use as an aerial. They might be different lengths. Now that I think of it, they may not be the same length. You know, why are there two of them? See, that part I can't figure. Why there are two of them? They could be of different lengths. He might have three aerials of three different wavelengths. Anywho, because they were only described as being two short rods, so we don't know. Anyway, so we have this surge, and if you create a window, I did it with, how many? 8 switches. So they're all parallel, they're parallel, they're pairs of parallel switches, 4 pairs. To create this condition in which the surge is repressed at around, I believe it's either 1 picosecond or 0.95 picoseconds. somewhere in that vicinity, I still don't fully understand how those switches work, but somewhere in the vicinity of 1 picosecond, the surge is suppressed so that it seems to be adequate, because if I go to 1 femtosecond, I get an error. I think I get an error, as I recall. In other words, I think I'm not allowed to start the repression or suppression of the surge that early. But 1 picosecond, I can do with no error message. So it starts at around 1 picosecond, and then it goes for the duration of the analysis, the transient analysis. Because if I end the suppression shy of the entire analysis, the surge ticks off. It's as if it simply waits patiently for any opportunity. It's a perennial surge. I thought it was a limited surge to 10 or less than 10 milliseconds, something like 4 or 6. But that was when I was maneuvering different factors. And so I didn't have all the factors in place fully. And I just assumed they would carry over, and they don't. I don't think so anymore. It's a surge condition all the time if all the factors are there. It's not a temporary anomaly. It's perennial. So the motor has to be suppressed all the time, or else the surge manifests. And then the controlling the surge. So it's, if we used a clock timer with a duty cycle, and then used another clock timer on that one to periodically engage it, we could have short bursts of a certain duration at a certain frequency of occurrence to run the motor. And as I started to say, the surge is an AC sine wave that escalates away from midline of the oscilloscope tracing. And so it starts in perspective, standing back from it, it starts looking like an arcing curve, but in reality it's an AC wave that keeps escalating. So it's there, and it'll have its impact on the rotation of the motor. Especially towards the end of the escalation, just before it gets cut off, and then it's a cliff, 100-degree drop, straight down. Most of my escalations are positive. Sometimes they were negative if the window is very short. They'll tend to be in the negative direction, but most of the time they're in the positive direction if the window is made long enough. And then it's just a very long window. It's like I start the burst at 1 nanosecond, the opening of the window, you know, the removal of the suppression, and then I cut it off, I believe, at 31 nanoseconds, if I'm not mistaken. So it has a narrow window of 31 nanoseconds, nano, that's N-A-N-O, nanoseconds of opportunity to escalate, and it does its thing. It slowly but surely begins, and then it picks up speed because it's an exponential surge, just like a viral replication. And then of course the motor is a load that is linear, just like the white blood cells are a linear load. So the surge, the load cannot keep up with the thermodynamic losses of this exponential surge rate, or logarithmic, if you want to call it, exponential rate of increase, of acceleration. I don't know what the power is. I didn't bother to investigate. I know Paul Falstad's simulator always harped on the factor of 10, base 10. But the literature of parametric amplification always refers to base 2. So whether the simulator is harping on base 10 is simply a simulator characteristic, or whether it's 2 or 10 or something else, natural logarithm, who knows? I don't know. But it is not linear, the escalation. It's definitely the case. So in that narrow window, it's slowly escalating, and then it suddenly gets cut off. If you're just looking at the wave, the raw wave. But then if you start looking at RMS, of course, it's a gradual incline. And then some very interesting things happen. Now, this I don't understand at all, and I can't say it's fully regulatable because this I do not understand. If you look at the voltage RMS, you can control it perfectly. But then if you start looking at the amperage RMS, something really weird happens. It keeps rising. It doesn't stop. No, I'm sorry. No, it does stop. It's a delayed reaction. Yeah. The RMS is delayed. So it reaches its peak well after the voltage has already been cut off. And that was not the case when the motor was simply being used in over-unity mode. The RMS dropped the minute the voltage dropped. But it dropped at a slow rate, as compared to the raw data of the voltage and the current. The current would drop immediately, and the voltage would linger. It would undulate as it diminished, which, is kind of usual for to see something like that happen. But then the RMS of the overunity situation, both the current and the voltage took their sweet time in dropping off very gradually. But here in the case of the surge, it's different. The RMS voltage drops gradually, while the current RMS continues to rise. And you can see the undulation, the AC waveform, as it still ro is rising. And this is now nanoseconds. So a couple nanoseconds delay reaction, and then finally the current RMS reaches its peak undulation and then starts to drop off. Not as an undulation, but as simply a drop-off curve, just like the voltage RMS is a drop-off curve. So I found that a little interesting. It took me a while to find. Actually, no, it's not a couple of nanoseconds. It's more than a. It's see. So I ran the transient analysis up to 40 nanoseconds, and then I just didn't run it any further. But I saw this current RMS continuing to rise, so I got curious. Let me think. Yeah, it's less than 100 nanoseconds. So I believe it's around 84 nanoseconds. It finally reaches its peak undulation, and then it does its curve of diminishment, its diminishment curve, the reverse angle of the curve, instead of convex, concave curve of diminishment, without undulating. It just, it's just a curve, a concave curve of diminishment. But it peaks at around 84 nanoseconds. So it starts at, it's given a chance to start at 1 nanosecond. Not zero, but one nanosecond. And then it's cut off, the switches are engaged to cut off somewhere around 31 nanoseconds, I believe. And the voltage RMS responds immediately, but the current RMS takes its sweet time. Not until around 84 nanoseconds does it reach its peak and then drop off. And that's I don't understand RMS, so I don't understand why that. Plus, this is a surge condition, so on top of which, so I don't understand this either. But it's very interesting. That's all I can have to say. It takes a while for the current to the current lags behind the voltage in terms of its reaction time, its reaction, the RMS reaction. So I suspect that's the way to regulate this is a clock. A double clock timer. That's what I've done before, and it works pretty good. So you have one clock timer regulating the let's see, regulating the frequency and the duty cycle of the burst, of the removal of the suppression. What's the second clock timer? Oh, I forget now how I did this. Yeah, when I was doing the Bewley archetype, I had a cascade of two clock timers. Well, I actually had more than two. I had three. Oh, that was it. I didn't have them sequenced. No, I had three different clock timers to select from. Yeah, I had a switch, a simple... No, I had multiple switches, multiple toggle switches to choose among three clock timers. Different frequencies of different duty cycles, or maybe the same frequency of different duty cycles, or was it the same duty cycle of different frequencies? I forget how I did that. I think I did it differently in different situations. Anyway, to get different acceleration rates, because I wasn't, you know, sure how to, yeah, but in this case, I think the way to do it would be to have different duty cycles, because there is no frequency. It's simply a duty cycle, so it's a different duration. Yeah, because the aerials are, the radio, see, no, that would be the radio tuner. No, if we could change the frequency, if there is a beat frequency, and that's the other thing, I can't discover with evidence, I can't discover direct evidence of a beat frequency. All I can do is infer, because when I look at the repercussions of having a mathematical certainty, you know, a theoretically mathematical certainty of a beat frequency, I actually don't get to see it because my simulator, I can't run the simulator long enough to find out. And it's not an issue with the simulator, it's the issue with my computer. The hard drive isn't big enough. You need a lot of space on your hard drive to run the simulator for anything longer than, I believe it's 5 milliseconds on my computer, because there just is not enough space on the hard drive to store the raw data of the analysis within the TSA file. It's a TSA file. If you, that's the extension of the file. If you go into data, the folder called data in the MicroCap working folder, it has three folders. It has a library folder, it has demo folders, and then it has a data folder. And it usually, the MicroCap folder, I forget what it's called, but it's right underneath the C. What's it called? The drive, the letter drive, the letter of the drive. So if it's the C drive, then right under that, the top level directory, is MicroCap demo, I think it's called, M11 demo, or it's called something. And then within that are three working folders, and one of them is the data folder. And in that is a TSA extension file. And it gets pretty big pretty readily. So it takes up, it hogs a lot of space on your hard drive. You got to have a lot of space. So I think my limit, my free space is 450 gigabytes of free space on my hard drive, because it's a tera size hard drive, terabyte. So you got to have a lot of space, and that's for a 5 millisecond transient analysis. So I don't even get to go any higher, because the wavelength, the cycle time of an 80 hertz wavelength, I believe, is pretty large in duration. 80 cycles per second, so that would be, well, the inverse of 80, the multiplicative inverse, 1 over 80. Well, 1 over 100 should be 10 milliseconds, so it's going to be something larger than 10. I think it's around 12, now that I think of it, 12 milliseconds. is the duration of an 80 cycles per second wavelength. I can't go to 12. There's no way I can go to 12 milliseconds. I don't have enough space on my hard drive. It's a lot of data that goes into that TSA file. So I don't have direct evidence. All I see is indirect evidence that the mama wave, what I like to call the mama wave, because it has all the power and it's the slower of the two, the 50 megahertz wave that the quarter wavelength of the 6-foot aerial on the backside of the Pierce Arrow is resonating with, that gets slowed down to 33.33333 on and on and on megahertz. It gets slowed down to that. And so I'm guessing it's been slowed down because its energy has been extracted from it to slow it down, going to the birth, the spawning of the beat frequency of 80 cycles per second. So that's just my guess, my derivative guess, estimate as to what's going on as an indirect evidence of the existence of the beat frequency. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it with my own eyes, so I can't validate that it exists. But it has a mathematical certainty. What happens, you know, when you blend two waves? You get a baby wave. But it would be nice to see it saying, aha, there it is, you know. You know, that's the whole point of science, is replicating what we know to be true. Mathematically, what we know to be true, to actually see it there. But I haven't, so I can't say that I've seen it. But maybe somebody with the right computers will see it, you know, with enough largesse of hard drive space, will be able to see it. So it wouldn't pay for me to get a different simulator or register it. It doesn't matter. It's the computer that, you know, that's the limit in that respect, in that regard. But that's merely over unity. With regard to, but then maybe we'd see it when it surges. Well, if we allowed the surge to occur long enough, but we couldn't. Now that's the problem of the simulator. Yeah, the simulator will last long enough to be able to see the AC sine wave beat frequency. You can only see it when the surge is not allowed to occur, but the overunity is allowed to occur. Then you might be able to see it if you had a large enough hard drive space, free space. The simulator will give it to you. You know, this is such a simple concept circuit concept, that it doesn't take any money to pay for a fancy-schmancy simulator, or even a bigger hard drive on the computer, bigger than Tera size, or not even that big. If you're just looking at this, the overunity, yeah, you don't need a big fancy, you don't need a lot of space on the hard drive. Now the surge, though, is a different animal. That you need a lot of space on the hard drive. That takes a little extra. So those are all my notes to myself. It's very fascinating, but it can be done. It can be regulated. How Tesla did it, God only knows. Maybe that's why he needed the extra radio tubes, because he was running an extra oscillator as a clock timer with a duty cycle on it to give narrow windows of opportunity for the surge to erupt. If he was running it that way, we don't know. How do we know? The story doesn't tell us this. It doesn't tell us how they mechanically operated the foot pedal, the accelerator pedal, to maintain speed. Did they pump it? You know, were they the clock timer, the manually operated clock timer of a certain duty cycle in which they had to keep tapping the accelerator pedal? You know, why did he have a witness to take over driving? Because he would get tired of tapping the pedal all the time? Because he didn't bother to put in an oscillator circuit to pulse opportunistic windows for the surge to occur if he was running in that modality? You know, it required a manual operation to pump the accelerator pedal, give it taps? I don't know. You know, we don't know that. Or did he have an oscillator circuit already built in that effectively ran itself as a clock timer with a certain duty cycle so that he wouldn't have to do anything extra special? And the foot pedal regulated the duty cycle, the duration of the pulse, or the frequency of the pulse. Probably the frequency. Probably having a set duration, a set duty cycle would be the right way to go, and then just change the frequency of its occurrence. I would think, because then you're coasting the rest of the time. Because the surge arises at such a rapid rate, I wouldn't want to try to mechanic. I wouldn't want to try to regulate that variable. I wouldn't want to try to vary that. No, if I were going to do it, I would have the same duty cycle, the same window of opportunity for the suppression to be removed of, let's say, 31 nanoseconds, and then just vary the frequency of its occurrence of that window. How often do we allow that window to repeat itself over time? The rest of the time, the surge is repressed. And when it's repressed, you do get an output. It's not zero. It's been reduced to, I believe it's millivolts, or it might be less than that. No, actually it's femto. Yes, it's femtovolts. When it's under suppression, the output is femtovolts, and it's a nice curvy wave, and it's not over unity. It's what you would expect of a motor anyway, you know, something less than what you put in. One microvolt, I'm running the aerials at one microvolt each. So a femtovolt is what you'd expect, something less, thermodynamic losses, right? But only because the surge is being repressed do you get that low level of output, but it is there. So the motor is still got one femtovolt, but is that enough for it to run on? I don't think so. But it's there. It's a trickle of voltage. I didn't check the amperage, though, when it's undergoing suppression. I should have. I was only checking the volts. Oh my goodness. I don't even know what the amps are. Well, I'm going to have to go find out of curiosity. Now I'm curious. But the voltage is low. It's very low. So that's the way I would do it. I'd have a fixed window, a fixed duty cycle, and then I would vary the frequency of its occurrence. Okay, so I repeated myself enough times. So those are my notes to myself that I know about so far. And now I want to go check to see what the current does when it's being when the voltage when the when the when the resistors are engaged to suppress the surge. Okie dokie. Just for reference, because this is not a video, this is an audio, I have to say which circuit I'm using to create the search, because I have so many in there by now. This is version 13, B as in boy. B as in bouncing ball. Bouncing baby. B as in bouncing baby. bouncing baby. 13B. Buzzing bee. Honey bee. 13B. A motor transformer version 13B.